Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, James. We're back.
We're back for another episode of Suggestible, the show where we suggestible things to you. What do you want? Some things that we've watched or whatever? Well, we got that for you.
We got so many things.
We've got at least four things.
We have. I've got all lots of gardens and recipe things today.
Oh, my God, Claire. Okay, well, I'll try and avoid that so that people will actually have something to look forward to. Gotcha.
Bloody got him. Okay, you old boot. Will I use that again this week? I don't know.
Apparently,
will
you over will.
It? There was some great fan art about that. I enjoyed it.
Me too.
It was great. All right, enough of this BS, you old boot. You get to go first because I've made a rule that it's gentleman's first.
And I appreciate that rule because it puts me right on the spot.
Okay. Good, that where I got you, where I like you.
This movie I'm talking about, it's still in cinemas. It was very aggressive. It's still in cinemas.
I'm bloody aggressive.
But it might be. Claire, you said
I'm
gentleman
first. I'm bloody
aggressive,
mate. I'm getting in there.
And now you need to bloody.
Hurry up, James.
I'm trying.
You're being so slow.
Well, you're not being very suggestible.
We're boring everybody's ear holes off.
But so it's called Long Shot. It's still in cinemas, but I think it's going to streaming next week. So if you do want to see it, you can probably just wait a week and it'll probably be. It's only at select cinemas in Australia anyway.
Yeah, it's been out for ages.
It's been out for a very long time and it bombed hard.
Which made me so sad.
I know, because it's great. It's one of the, it's probably the funniest movie I've seen this year, though I haven't seen many comedies.
Whoa, that's a big call. Yeah. Because you're sad and depressing.
I'm sad and depressed, but also most comedies aren't good.
You think that. You just say that because you see a lot of comedy. I think you've overdone comedy. You know how if something's delicious, like my sister when she was a kid ate too many Dim Sims out of a packet and now she can't eat them?
That's because Dim Sims are shit also. The absolute dog food.
No, if you don't eat them very often, actually now, yeah, they are.
No, I've always hated them.
All right.
Always.
Anyway,
and forever.
I think you've overdosed on comedy.
No, I think just wanting to watch a good thing, that's not my fault, is it?
All right, bloody get back to your suggestion.
Anyway,
mate.
So it's stop Seth Rogen and Charlize Theron. And the idea is that the Charlize Theron character, whose name I can't remember, or the Seth Rogen character's name, so I'm just going to call them the names of their real names. She is running for the 2020 presidential campaign.
Woo!
And she brings Seth Rogen on board as a speechwriter. And they knew each other from when they were kids. They had an awkward encounter when she babysat,
which sounds kind of weird, but yeah, and he thought she was real cute.
That's right, and really, you know, she had good morals, and she's all about recycling and whatever. And
saving the world, yeah. Bees, trees, and seas,
and she was 3 years older than him, so obviously nothing ever happened.
Nothing weird or creepy.
There was an embarrassing event, and then they run into each other again many, many years later, and it's a romantic comedy, I guess, but what I also liked about it, it was nice to see like a competent leader, like world leader, even if it's fictional, because we just got, you know, there's that the UK situation which just unfolded.
With Boris. Good old
country,
Boris Johnson.
Obviously.
Who Trump came out and said was the Trump of the UK.
What a stunning compliment.
They both have very crazy hair going on.
Yeah, I don't know whether that's what's going on there. Anyway, it's neither here nor there. So it's just a good, like it's a solidly funny movie. I like the dynamic of... They talk about it in the movie, but it's like the opposite of like a Pretty Woman situation.
Yeah, because he's very Seth
like
Rogen, basically.
And,
yeah, and funny, but a bit of a mess. His life's a mess, and he's like a journalist that's got, you know, really like serious left-leaning opinions about everything, and then but he gets kind of fired or he quits.
But they also kind of address that, like it's not, you know, where he kind of realizes that he should listen to other people, you know, who have other opinions also.
Yeah,
you know what
be
I mean?
More
so
open-minded.
So if you're worried that it's like, this is just going to be some bloody leftist propaganda, bloody German.
Bloody soy boy over there.
Down my throat or whatever. I mean, yeah, it is that, which I liked. But but it also does address like the other side of things. And it also, like the real president in this universe, well, the current president is someone who played a president on television on kind of like a West Wing knockoff kind of situation and is looking to get out and move into movies. So he's just this guy who shouldn't be there and everyone's kind of covering for him. And,
gosh,
and
that sounds like such a fictional universe.
I know, what a weird coincidence. But so... It's tightly written and it's very funny. And again, I like the dynamic between the two of them. They're both really funny and they play off each other really, really well.
The chemistry's great, yeah, which is surprising because Charlize Theron is like a goddess and Seth Rogen is Seth Rogen.
Sure.
But he's so funny in this and I think he's very charismatic. You really, even though she's so together and clearly so smart and hardworking and just like Amazon, you really believe that she would fall for him.
Yeah.
And the dynamic's just really great.
And there's also there's things that they address about the difference between if you're running for president as a female candidate or a male candidate and things you can and can't say. And like, well, if I say this, I'm going to come across as angry and shrill. But if I kind of show any emotion, then I'm weak. And it's like this whole, so it's this real balancing act of like, and I know this is how it works. There's like, you know, they poll them to see like, well, you're 82% in, you know, in humor, but we think we could bump that up or whatever. And there's like a Justin Trudeau character that, you know, is interested in dating her, who's the president of Canada, who's also turns out to be a pretty funny, pretty funny, got a goofball character in it. Not intentionally, but I mean, it is intentional because it's written that way.
But it's just a really great, fun movie, but there's some also serious lines running through it. What I also thought was great is that you see, in order to be someone like a woman as the president or run as a candidate, just the sheer amount of work that goes behind the scene to make you look a certain way.
Like she's doing, like she wakes up in the morning or she's, you know, she's rehearsing a speech and she's doing like arm curls or whatever to.
Yeah, exactly. Putting ice spoons on her underneath her eyes so she doesn't look puffy.
Yeah.
You know, just and like the hair and makeup and all the stuff that she has to do in order to, you know, be presentable. It's, it's just a great fun time. I'm really glad that you liked it. I saw the movies by myself.
I wanted to see it much earlier and I didn't, but I'm glad I ended up catching it. So, look, like I said, it's out. I think it's streaming next week. I'll look it up.
Yeah, Long Shot.
Long Shot, yeah.
Long Shot. It's get really, it up, yeah.
Get it up, yeah.
Shoot it in your eyeballs.
Okay, what boring garden thing you got for us?
Oh, gosh, I've got so many fun things. Okay, my first one is a book. It's called Growing Food the Italian Way by Fabian Capamola.
I gave you that book.
You did for Valentine's Day last year because you know me.
Well, because you said I want this book. I don't know when I'm going to remember. Was that this year, though?
It was this year. Mate, this year's feeling long. It was February this year. Mate, that feels like a long time ago.
Here's a trick for those listening who want to buy things for their partners. I've got no idea.
Here he goes,
every now and then they'll say something just in passing and you write it down in your phone. You're like, ooh. And then when it comes around, they're like, oh my God, I can't believe you remember. But here's the thing you didn't remember. you just knew at the time to write it down and then hope they didn't buy it between then. Because that's also happened to me when you're like, I want this thing. And then I get it. And then you get it. And I'm like, ah, oh, she's ruined everything.
All that time that I bought tickets for a musical for my mum for Christmas. But I'd also said that I want to go. And then you bought tickets. And it was the whole thing. That was this Christmas.
Was that organised though? Did we organise?
We all went together.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. But like you
didn't were... I? Oh, that's right. Because I ended up coordinating with... I can't remember.
Yeah,
that was
this is a
blog
version.
What musical was it?
I can't remember. Oh, but that we hated as well. Oh, Evita. Don't cry for
God.
Me, Argentina.
Evita was terrible.
Sitting next to you in Evita, the musical, was so hilarious because you hated every single second. And you're a musical man.
I love musicals.
You're a musical
Evita
man.
Evita went for 100,000 years. And there's that one song, but everything else was, and the acoustics were too, oh my God.
Oh, it was
it blew
no
me
good.
Away how, like, the opposite of, like, in a good way. It's like, wow, this is bad. Why do people like this? This is quite crap.
Yeah, it was, and I love all musical theatre and just could not. I was so ready.
We love the movie Cats, for example.
I really, for anyone that didn't see, we had a live show on Sunday. James wore cat ears when he came out and it was a bloody goddamn brilliant
It was a bloody
time.
Hoot. And I'm glad I put him on like a minute before I came out because otherwise I wouldn't have done it. Anyway, sorry, you're reading a
correct.
Book about
gardening. All right, exactly. And if you want to donate to our charity campaign for that and listen to that whole recording of the live show, you can.
Yes.
I'll put the link in the show notes for Suggestible. Anyway, back to Growing Food the Italian Way. It's a book about exactly what it sounds like. It's just really the A to Z of how to grow veggies and fruit in your garden. But it goes into really simple language. So, and it just explains things like what is sunlight and why you need it and what is soil and what's the best composition and how to make a no-dig veggie patch, which is what I'm doing.
What is sunlight?
Well, as in not like the, we all know what sunlight is, but as in what type of sun
and
why
long,
you need sun.
And how long for each
correct,
plant
exactly, because sun's really, really important. That's a thing that people often get wrong.
The sun's overrated, mate.
No, but it's just really
important. Sun's had it too good for too long.
God. Here
the
he
sun's
goes.
Cancelled.
I can feel a rant coming on about the sun. It's only because you're a pale as pale.
That's true.
And you get sunburn easily.
The sun is my enemy.
You are. You're a little Irish potato farmer who's not used to seeing any sun.
I'm really not.
So it talks about the best position for your veggie patch to make the most of the sun, because if you don't have sun, you can't grow good veggies.
Yeah. And look, I'm not interested in this stuff at all, but I do think it's so important to like eat locally grown stuff and pesticide free, and because it's really, it's like it's messing up waterways and people's health and digestion. And
can I get this in writing? Because every time I try to talk to you about it, you're like,
no, but it's more effort. And I go, and also when you go to buy that stuff, you're like, this apple looks like absolute crap. But it ends
like
up normally,
organic.
Yeah, because the stuff that they sell, like, you know, and the,
it looks
in the
so
sub,
perfect
because
and
they throw
shiny
out the,
and beautiful.
The, yeah, but the actual organic ones taste better.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway,
they just
sorry.
Have like wormholes in them.
Oh, whatever, you cut them out.
Yeah. Oh, you're a real man.
I'll eat a worm. I don't care. I'll eat a worm on this podcast.
Protein.
Yeah, man.
You're all about the protein,
that could
mate.
That be our first ad.
You're F45 in it.
Yeah, I am. I endorse worms and eating them.
You do. Correct. Exactly. Mm. All right. Anyway, back to my thing. So it's just really great. It's done by Fabian Cavamola, who is a entrepreneur and started a company called The Little Veggie Patch Co. And he created a nursery and he did a pop-up patch in Fed Square in Melbourne. He does a podcast now and he started a new site called The Hungry Gardener, which is just really cool. He talks to people about how to grow stuff and have chickens in your back garden, which is something else we're doing. I'm so excited. So if you're a gardening nerd like me, and you've just always thought about having a veggie patch in your garden and wanting to grow more stuff yourself, because it's one of the best things you can do
and
for
the planet.
And you
don't need that much space, do you?
No, you really don't. You really don't. I'm boring Jace now.
Even
but
though you've bought six
worth
veggie patches now, but we had a smaller one that you were.
Correct. And we're layering up a no-dig veggie patch, and it's so much fun. I'm making James shovel shit.
That's right.
So good. It's good for you, mate. Go back to your Irish potato farming roots.
That's true. Correct. Except for the sun thing, which I don't
all
like.
Right. Anyway, it's
can
just
a really
good.
Can you stand over me with a big umbrella? So
yeah, I better.
Also, the sun is very aging, Claire. Everybody knows that. Oh, the sun is just constantly attacking us.
It's too late,
us.
Mate. Your hair's already grey. The secret's out. Everybody knows.
The sun got my hair.
It did. Yeah. Oh, lordy. Lucky you got your rejuvenating shampoo.
Thank goodness.
And I've just told everybody. Anyway, yeah. Highly recommend that. And also his website is really cool too. Head on over there.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Done.
This is something that I recommend with a caveat. As
a
in
caviar?
Sometimes a caveat, no.
Is caviar fish eggs?
Yes.
All right, so you recommend it with fish eggs.
Sure. Okay, I recommend this show with fish eggs.
You look
get a
so
big
tired
jar
today and angry.
Because I just, Comic-Con, man, it just, it's a huge weekend. We had the live show in Comic-Con.
That
and
was
then,
not my fault, by the way.
I know, it was my fault, and I coordinated 11 videos to put out. And look, to be fair, I didn't edit them. Like, I recorded them and then sent them over, and then I'd been progressively releasing them over like 3 days, and all the metadata and stuff and all that stuff that's not interesting. It's just little things that I'm so glad that those guys did. Yeah. Anyway, it's neither
here nor
there.
You told me today that your YouTube channel is like a garden.
It is like a garden.
You have to keep tending it.
A garden that also insults you constantly. Tells you
with death threats
that you're bad at things and your accent sucks. Imagine that. You went out to your garden. It's like, you suck. Where are you from? Speak English.
F you. Yeah. You like those other roses better than me. Yeah.
It's pretty good. But it's Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee. This is an old show. It's streaming on Netflix. I don't know if it started
on
Netflix.
So this is your next suggestible.
Yes.
Ah, and you so moved right along.
People probably know this, and I'm in two minds about it because sometimes it can be great. So comedian Eddie Murphy, no, Jerry Seinfeld. I am going to talk about Eddie Murphy. Jerry Seinfeld takes a car, whether it be a classic car or a new car, and he goes and picks up a comedian, and they drive in the car and they chat about comedy and life, and they get a coffee and then they go home. It's very low effort for Jerry Seinfeld. I mean, why wouldn't it be? He's got enough money, so it just seems like it's a fun thing, that like a personal project he can do, like a podcast or a garden that screams at you. But so a lot of the times, and I'll just quickly talk about the negative stuff.
All right.
There's things like, it's a lot of like someone gets in the car and it'll be like, yeah, you can't bloody say anything anymore. This culture and these millennials and, you know, like we grew up in a time when you could say and do anything and whatever and good on you. It's like, great, okay, but things are different now, you know what I mean? And I know that cancel culture thing can obviously go too far, but it just a lot of time it just sounds like back in my day kind of shit, you know what I mean?
Correct, exactly. Back in my day you could pinch a woman on the bum at work and she'd like it.
It's not like that explicitly or anything like that.
No, but it's about jokes and what you can and can't
but
say.
But the thing is though, I and I've said this before, I think you can genuinely joke about anything. But a lot of the time when they're like, you can't say anything, it's like, but it's boring. Like the things that you're saying are boring and not controversial. It's just dull. You know what I mean?
Correct. Yeah.
Like it's like this is an old kind of hack kind of.
Yeah,
bit.
Ricky Gervais loves to talk about this a lot. Boy, he does. He's like your favorite man.
No, that's the thing because I'm not going to get into Ricky Gervais, but he's like, I'm an atheist. What do you think? Everyone's a fucking atheist. No one cares. It's not a big deal. It's really not.
Yeah, I know. Look, I really liked Afterlife, his show on Netflix. I know you didn't say
no,
much,
I'm hot and cold on it. Like, but I think
your good mate Joseph loved it too.
He did love it, yeah. But don't get me wrong, Ricky Gervais has done some really good stuff. We're talking about For the Office and whatever. But there's that thing of like, did I offend you kind of thing. It's like, no, it's just dull. Like, it's just dull. And yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway. And there is a Ricky Gervais episode, and it is interesting. Cool. You know what I mean? But there is, like, he did one in this new season. There's a Seth Rogen one, which is great. There's an Eddie Murphy one, which is really interesting because Eddie Murphy kind of disappeared from the comedy scene and hasn't done stand-up in, like, 20 or 30 years. And he talks about why.
Oh, is that? Because I thought it was because he went and had kids and did those terrible kids movies.
Like, well, he Dr. did. He Doolittle. Did do that. But he talks about the reason why was because one of the last times he was on stage, like decades ago, was he was just like, I could say anything and it would get a laugh. Like it wouldn't matter. Like there was one time I stood there in silence for 10 minutes and people just laughed because he just wanted to see whether he could. And he's like, there's no challenge in it. So now he's thinking about coming back to it, but he's got two particularly iconic stand-up sets from the 80s, Roar and the other one. I can't remember.
Is Roar the one where he wears the purple bodysuit?
There's a purple suit and there's a red suit in there. And whatever. And look, some of that stuff is very dated, but it's, you know, it's classic comedy. Because there's
and
stuff
homophobic. And, isn't it? Terribly homophobic.
In particular. That's what I was referring to. But he's talking about coming back, but he's kind of like, well, I don't even know how would I even do that? Because people film everything now, so you can't even, because he's Eddie Murphy, he can't even kind of practice a set and kind of get a good set of jokes.
Everybody's got a camera.
And because also, what do you even know what's funny or not want anymore if you're Eddie Murphy? Because you get on stage and people are like, well, this is Eddie Murphy. This is
going to be hilarious. Great.
But then again, maybe it's because it's not the 80s anymore, then it would be you'd get more honest feedback because people in the audience don't necessarily know who you are if they're a younger generation at least.
Oh, yeah. They know him as the donkey from Shrek.
Yeah, but even then, like,
people would still know Eddie Murphy.
Yeah, but they don't know his stand-up is what I'm saying, and they don't know the history.
Yeah, that's true. But like coming to America.
Coming to America. They're making a new one.
Yeah, I mean, that's – I think the thing with Eddie Murphy is even though he might not have done stand-up for so long, the body of his work is still being watched and watched by each generation.
And the thing about Eddie Murphy was that I realized watching this, he's still very funny and very sharp. Like he's still quick on his feet. You know, he's obnoxiously rich, but he seems to like being alone in his quiet time and whatever, but he loves his family and he talks about that kind of stuff, how he got really upset when like one of his kids moved out, he goes and cries in his room or whatever. And it's just, it was just interesting because you don't really see Eddie Murphy anymore. And I know there was a period in the 90s when he was kind of depressed and he was doing Beverly Hills Cop and like he's like, I used to be like the biggest star in the world. And he was in the 80s. He was huge.
Yeah.
All these movies did phenomenally well. But then I think it was Bronson Pinchot. Is that his name? It's a guy from Family.
You're real
cousins.
Struggling.
What are they're Perfect Strangers.
Oh, yeah.
Balky. He's Balky. And he worked on Beverly Hills Cop 3 and he remembers having a conversation with him. I remember reading this interview and Eddie Murphy was kind of like, yeah, nobody kind of cares who I am anymore. And he was kind of in this kind of slump. Yeah. So, and that was a period where he did like Dr. Doolittle and a bunch of kids'
really
movies and things like that. But I just thought it was really fascinating that this guy, and because he started so young, like he started in the 70s with like Cosby and Pryor and all these other comedians, and actually Jerry Seinfeld at the same time.
And he's never had anything weird, controversial, other than his like homophobic statements and stuff in the 80s, which
and look,
people got
none
away
of,
with it.
None of that is acceptable. Like I don't
know.
But it was a different time, and people didn't understand AIDS at all. Because he talks about in it, he was worried like if you kiss somebody that you get AIDS from them. But that was also an era when there was a lot of misinformation. People didn't know. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it wasn't being dealt with properly and you know, by the government and all these other things. I'm not excusing it. I'm just saying it was a...
Yeah.
You kind of need to look at it in that context, I guess. But
That's actually something really interesting that Ricky Gervais does talk about, that because everything is filmed now, right, something that you say now that's filmed or back in the 80s because it's filmed, in 30, 40 years, it will. You can look back on it and sort of see that that person is saying something really controversial or not okay. And even though that person, like the Eddie Murphy of the 80s, would never say the things that he said in Raw, for example, maybe.
Or at least in public,
In public.
Because, you know, there's things that you would say to friends that you would never say.
Correct. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But we are now watching things assuming that, you know, maybe we can't grow as people or that, you know, I don't know. It's just an interesting age.
It is. And there needs to be like a level of, like, context and forgiveness and kind of where is that person now, and do you know what I mean? And, like, there definitely needs to be that. But then there's some people like Bill Cosby who's just a fucking flat-out monster.
And a criminal.
And he even talks about Bill Cosby and how Bill Cosby used to kind of belittle him because he saw it as, like, a rival comedian. Like, other upcoming comedians who were white, he didn't care as much. But Eddie Murphy used to always be on his back and he'd call him and, like, chastise him for swearing and things like that. And you're making the community look bad and you're embarrassing yourself or whatever. Meanwhile, he's raping, like, literally hundreds of women. It's just this fascinating. And he talks about, like, Richard Pryor, who was kind of like Richard Pryor had his own demons and problems, like spousal abuse and cocaine and things like that. But he was kind of the opposite of Cosby to him.
So this is comedians with cars?
Comedians in cars getting coffee. Getting the Eddie Murphy one.
Yeah, okay. So Jerry Seinfeld. Yeah, because I've tried to watch some episodes and
I'm very hot and cold on it.
You know what I have rewatched though? Seinfeld.
Yeah.
I've just been rewatching Seinfeld from the beginning and I bloody love that show. Mm. And I know that's not a suggestion, like everyone loves Seinfeld, but most people. But it's so fun. It's just a fun, ridiculous time. And Elaine is brilliant and I love her so much and it's awesome. But, yeah, okay, I will definitely have a look at that. That sounds really super fascinating. Love Eddie Murphy. Used to watch Raw all the time. Brilliant.
I hated most of his 90s movies.
Yeah.
I hate Dr. Dolittle and that one, the Nutty Professor.
Good, but that's not Shrek's, 90s. Yeah. That's 2000s, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's 2000s.
Yeah, I think. Well, anyway, cool. Yeah. Okay.
Daddy Day
Moving
camp.
Right along. Yeah. Oh, Lord. Yeah. Awful. Okay. My suggestion of all, so it's my turn again.
I'm ready.
This one I think you might be surprised about. I don't know. It's a podcast, obviously, This American Life, which you obviously know. It's very famous.
I've never really heard it, but I obviously know it. Yeah.
Correct, exactly. Well, it began in 1995 in November, on November 17th.
It was a public access.
Yeah, so it's Chicago Public Media and it's a public radio show. So it's broadcast across America and it's one of the very first really famous podcast. A lot of people see it as quite an iconic show. It's hosted by Ira Glass. Mm-hmm. It's brilliant journalistic nonfiction.
Did he say just make the thing? Was that him?
He did. Yeah. That was him. I've got this amazing quote from him where he just said it took him the longest time to figure out that to get good at something, you just have to do it for a long, 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 long time.
And be bad.
Yeah, and be bad.
It's so difficult now, though, because everything stays up online forever. Like, there's things that I've made in the past that were available. I feel like no one would ever take me seriously.
Like those videos you did when we were in Africa.
Yeah, things like that, yeah.
I was like filming you while you were standing in a field of wheat or something.
Because I was going mad overseas.
Yeah, correct.
Because I didn't bring any video games.
Oh, God. It was so fun. It was quite funny, those videos. Anyway, they won't see the light of day. My starring role in Cats the Musical when I was eight or something.
Did you have it in a show, man?
No, definitely not. In an orange bodysuit. That is never seen the light of day. And it's on a VCR, so it's okay. So, obviously, This American Life has over 600 episodes. So, I mean, if you're a podcast listener.
Well, Mason and I are coming up on 300, we didn't start in 1995.
Well, there you go. Okay. Well, these guys have a really high standard, though, of podcasting. Okay. So I don't know.
Oh, I see how it is.
Over 80% of their interviews never make it to air, James. So
really?
Yeah. So that's how exacting they are.
Are they weekly? Surely not.
Yeah, they are. Yeah. Really? Yeah. So, but they have a really big team around them.
Yeah, right.
Obviously, you'd need to. But they work so hard. Like, it's won so many awards because of the journalism and just the excellence. So, they've got a standard format for the show. It's obviously usually around a theme, from gloomy to ironic, thought-provoking and humorous. And it starts usually with a prologue and then it goes in acts. So, it has act one, act two, act three. Sometimes one episode can just be one whole act. Just depends. And the journalism journalists are brilliant, but I wanted to recommend you specifically one episode and really just the prologue of an episode, because I know you're time poor over there, Mr. Sunday Movies. You got no time and you're aging fast. So
the sun is,
I don't waste your earballs.
The sun is just banging at my door, just coming to get me.
I just said earballs. I meant ear holes.
No, you meant earballs.
Okay, I said earballs. Anyway, the episode I'm recommending is a recent one. It's called Save the Girl. And it's really about a whole lot of different ways that kind of the society loves an innocent girl being saved.
Yes.
You know, they just love that.
Yeah.
They love that idea of an innocent girl being saved in all different ways. It's a story as old as time.
Yeah, definitely.
From and, Cinderella
I mean,
to,
and you look at you things know. Like horror movies, the trope was like the girl who was a virgin or whatever, and she's nice. She's the one who escapes at the end. You know what I mean? And the
correct.
Couples that are having sex get murdered.
Yeah, correct. Exactly. Because she's usually young and beautiful and innocent, like a Cinderella type, Snow White type, Sleeping Beauty type girl. Yeah. And she gets saved. Anyway, this episode begins in the prologue with a look at Final Fantasy VII from 1997.
I've never played it.
Do you know what
I'm
talking
well
about?
I'm well aware of Final Fantasy VII.
All right, okay. Yeah. And the girl specifically in that who gets murdered and everyone cried about it.
Yeah, it's still a thing. People are still banging
on about it. Yeah, is it Aerith?
Aerith,
I don't know. Aerith Gainsborough, who was a flower seller in this game. But they just kind of look at how all of these boys and men, really, who were playing this game were super invested and all cried. Like, so many of them cried.
Yeah.
And why did they cry?
Well, it was a story that there wasn't. But they talk about it. I can explain.
Yeah, you
bit.
Can talk about it. Yeah.
Yeah, it was because it was a new kind of era of video games of 3D and storytelling, because it was the whole lot of 16-bit side scrolling like Mario games, and then this in a couple of years after you get something like this, which is this big sweeping fantasy tale, and it's kind of naff by today's standards, but yeah, it was kind of the benchmark of video games at the time.
It was Japanese, right? And then remade. Well,
they still make them.
Yeah.
Well there's,
I think
I think
there's
it's
one
been
coming out.
There's one
this
coming
year.
Out. They're remaking it. Yeah.
So it was created by Yoshinori Kitase and Hironobu Sakaguchi, which I probably murdered those names, but anyway.
That was perfect. That was Origato.
Okay. Oh, God. Designed by Tetsuya Nomura.
Well, because we did an ad for the... Yeah, he did the music, didn't he?
I know. He did all the artwork.
Okay. Then he ignore that. Cut that out, Collings.
Cut that out. No, definitely not. But anyway, so... Oh, we did do an ad, though, for a
we
video
did,
game.
We did, for the... Because the music is also very, really iconic as well.
Yeah, that's right. I know, because I listen to because they play the bit where she dies. Because basically, this beautiful, innocent girl who's very sweet, who's got, you know, piercing green eyes and beautiful, long, flowing hair, just gets stabbed through the chest with a sword and
Sephiroth, maybe.
Yeah.
I can't remember.
Who knows? Is it Cloud Strife?
Yeah.
Is the main character
Cloud.
Who, like, is shocked and supposed
Cloud
to protect
McCloud.
Her? Well, I had Cloud Strife written down, but who knows? And apparently on the screen, the words come up, she will no longer laugh, cry, or get angry. Oh, and she's voiced by Mandy Moore.
I didn't know that.
I know. Who also voices the Princess in Tangled.
Yes, she does. Yeah.
She's awesome in that. I love her. Great job, Mandy Moore. Anyway, just so that's a really interesting episode. So it's only 10 minutes, that prologue, but it's just a really
It's Cloud Strife. Wow. It really is.
They interview like a gamer who was, you know, maybe 13 when it came out.
Yeah.
And now
which would have been like my age as well.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. Now he's in his 30s and he was super invested. So it's interesting because the girl, the journalist, originally got into this because her brother apparently cried when the girl dies, but he refuses to admit that he cried.
That's
and
great.
So she like goes to interview someone else because he won't admit on recording on tape that he actually cried, but she remembers him crying.
The thing is, though, I never liked those games.
Oh, what? Well, we're going to get so much hate mail now.
I don't care. I don't like them. I don't like RPGs. There's too much time and investment in them. And you go, like, get the crystal and put the spell and it's turn-based and whatever. I know there's amazing craft into it, but it's never been my thing.
Is it like Zelda? Is that the kind of
It's way more complicated than Zelda.
All right.
But yes.
Because I like Zelda. I like the Ocarina of Time.
Yeah, it's a good game that I never played, but yeah.
Oh, I loved it so much. Anyway, so
you didn't like Majora's Mask.
Not so much.
Because you couldn't beat it.
No, it's so freaking annoying. You have to keep repeating. I hate doing things all over again. I hate that. Anyway, another episode I'd recommend of This American Life is my favorite one, The Invisible Made Visible.
Mm.
It's really interesting. And it starts with a guy who's blind. He's looking for a phone in a hotel room to call his wife and he can't find it. He goes to sleep, wakes up in the morning, and then miraculously where he was looking on the table, there's a phone, even though he said he felt over the entire coffee table and there was no phone.
Yeah, but did he?
Who knows? Anyway, it unfolds from there. And then there's another story about a man who's blind.
It's like a fictional story?
No, they're all real. Yeah. All of these stories are true. They're sort of true fiction, true stories. And then the second, the first act of it is about a man who's blind, and there's a bear involved, and he's trying to teach his daughter about what it's like to be blind.
Right, okay.
And there's a bear in it. It's just really great story. I won't.
Do they do that kind of Foley thing where they kind of they put the sounds around you, kind of?
They can, yeah. They do a little bit, not hugely, but they do have. They're very good in This American Life at layering the sound. They record in different places. They interview in different places. You know, outside in the woods or in homes, or they often do phone calls. So it's a very atmospheric podcast. Mm. I don't always love it. Sometimes I'm not in the mood for it, but those two episodes really grabbed me. So I highly recommend them.
And they will be linked below by Collings.
Thanks, Collings, you wonder kid, person, man, human. All right, we've come to the end. We're at 29 minutes, James.
Oh, my God.
Do you have anything to say? Any other things over there?
I have nothing to say, and I won't be back.
Any reviews to read?
I do have a review.
Oh, God. Hurry up there, man.
Okay, this is from Shrek and Donkey, actually. You could just review this on your app. It says, beautiful podcast. James will always have better chemistry with Mason. Sorry. But in reality, love the podcast.
Yeah, so that's fair enough.
I have known Mason for longer than you.
You have got some. You have known Mason longer than me. Oh, you've got delicious chef's kiss chemistry.
The chef's kiss, you say?
Yes, correct. Exactly. Interesting. You chose not to marry Mason. You chose to marry me.
Well, we weren't allowed to at the time, were we?
Yeah, this was a different time.
It's a different time.
Back in the 80s.
I didn't meet him in the 80s.
Oh, and also, any recommendations from anyone?
Oh, I don't have anything. I forgot to. Sorry, it was just me at a really busy time.
Yeah, hang on.
While you're looking for that, Simon Morgan sent in some fan art of You Old Boot.
Oh, yeah, that's so awesome. Yeah, thank you, so Simon great. Morgan. All right, I also have a recommendation.
What do you got?
From Gregory at G Grit Mon. Thanks, Gregory. I recommend the book An Absolutely Remarkable Thing by Hank Green about the world's reaction to a strange phenomenon and one woman's struggle with overnight fame. The story grips and doesn't let go. Ooh, I want to read that. That sounds good.
Grips and doesn't let go, because at one point you'd want it to let go, wouldn't you?
No, James, never. I always want my books to grab on and never let go like a leech.
That sounds bad.
Well, eventually leeches let go, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, they fill up on that.
Like a barnacle on the side of a boat.
You got to chip them off though, don't you?
All right.
Shout out to Daniel Hamm as well, who wrote in on Twitter and said, thanks for recommending I Am Mother. So good. And also thank you to Claire, you, for recommending David Tennant's podcast, reminding him of that.
So. Oh, that was a good one.
And then there's
a gif of David Austin
Powers doing a salute. So.
Oh, I salute you back, sir. Thank you very much.
And you too, Mike Myers, Austin Powers.
Correct, exactly. All right, this has been Suggestible Pod. You can find us on the Twitter at Suggestible Pod, on Instagram at Suggestible Pod. You can find more Planet podcasts just like this on at planetbroadcasting.com. You can find me on Instagram at Claire Tonti, and this man over there who's looking very sad and tired today because of Comic-Con weekend.
I hate myself.
Mr. Sunday Movies on all the platforms and on the YouTubes as well. And we would love to hear your suggestibles. So please tweet us, write us, do all the things, and review us if you like us.
Yeah, that really helps. Helps a lot. All right. Thank you, everybody. And thank you, Claire.
Old
boot.
Thank you.
I'll see you next week, Claire.
Sunny Jim.
We don't talk during the week. We just do this.
We don't. This is the half an hour of time that we spend together, and that is it. All right. Signing off.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.